Blog Talk Radio.
This is Art and Soul Radio. Hello, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Leslie Riley, the Artist Success Expert. Please visit my new website at artistsuccess.com. Art and Soul Radio is brought to you by Art and Soul Retreats and Glennie Dimpson Moore. For more information on retreat locations, workshops, and instructors, please visit artandsoulretreats.com. So it's Monday, December 20th, and the clock is ticking down till Santa comes to town. I know most of the country is covered in snow right now, and I'm happy to say it's all clear here in Washington, D.C. We had enough snow last year to last us several years, so I'm hoping it won't be a white Christmas this year. Okay, so with the Christmas holiday season seems to be an appropriate time to take a look at the spiritual side of art. On today's Art and Soul Radio show, we'll be taking a look at a unique quilt show, Sacred Threads, an exhibit celebrating and featuring quilts that focus on the spiritual and the personal. In 2011, the sixth biannual Sacred Threads exhibit will be in a new location, and as the shop owners say, under new management. So today I'm talking with the new co-chairs of the exhibit, Lisa Ellis and Christine Adams. Lisa, Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi there, Leslie. Thank you for giving us this opportunity.
Oh, certainly. I'm excited to hear all about Sacred Threads show. It's one that I've been aware of for many years, but never entered it or anything, but it's always had my attention and been something that I wanted to do. So, which one of you would like to give us the history of the show? Lisa?
I'll start.
You.
This concept for this show started back in about 1999. Vicky Pignatelli, who's a fabulous art quilter in the Columbus area, saw a real need to create a dignified venue that would welcome works that really talk to the sacred threads of people's lives, their own personal journeys as they've worked through issues with healing, with grief, and also expressions of their faith. She just felt that most of the traditional quilt shows had a real lacking in presenting works that were in this venue. And so it became a dream of hers. And so she, with a group of folks that became the first committee, they put together the first show in 2001. And it's been held every other year in Columbus, and it's grown from the very first show through the show that was held in 2009. Every year, more visitors and more artworks have been presented. Highly successful and just really, I think, a very unique show that people are not only blessed by having the opportunity to show their work, but the viewers that come and see the show are also really blessed by the work that they see.
That sounds so exciting. And I know it's going to be in my area this year, so I'll be able to go see it too. I guess we'll get more details on that later on in the program. So you both have unique qualifications that make you, well, at least in my opinion, ideal co-chairs for the Sacred Threads show. So can you each tell us about your background with quilts and spirituality and the healing arts? Christine, why don't you start?
Well, fabric has been important to me since I can remember. When I was a little girl, I would sit and play with the scraps in my grandfather's upholstery shop. And I've known for a long time that fabric and related materials just feed my soul.
Mm-hmm.
My love of textiles and color, design, texture has taken me on a variety of paths, Since 1985, I worked with the elderly in nursing facilities. For 7 years, my residents and I actively created art, not only with fabric, but using a variety of art medium. It was discovered that the participants were not only happier and easier to be with, but also had a lessened need for prescription drugs. And because of this, holistic healing phenomenon, I went back to Sister for a master's in art and medicine.
Whoa. That's fantastic. That was how long ago?
Well, I got my degree, 60 hours worth, in 2005.
Boy, time flies. I was going to think it was like a couple years ago, but that's wonderful.
Year, huh?
So you're with a master's degree in art and healing or art and medicine. What did you say it was?
It's art and medicine. It's an MFA with an integrated art, which in my case was medicine.
Okay. So that sets you up perfectly to work with this Sacred Thread show. So how about you, Lisa? What's your background as far as art and spirituality and quilting?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's a more recent journey. I worked in the corporate world for many years and then finally made the difficult decision to retire in 2003. And that's when I really got bit by the quilting bug. A friend of mine had taught me to quilt by hand, so I was a little familiar with the craft. But it was really at that time that I bought a machine and decided that this was something that I really wanted to pursue. And very early, around 2004, I started making pieces that were a reflection of my faith. And I found that was where I just found great joy, and I had some real sacred experiences where I felt the guidance of God in creating my work. And a friend who was familiar with the work that I was making knew about Sacred Threads and suggested that I enter the show. That was in the 2005-2006 time frame. So I entered the 2007 show and was amazed to be accepted, still a relatively new quilter. And so I traveled to Columbus to go to see the show and to see my work. And that's when I met Vicki Pignatelli and also her co-chair, Wendy Biner, and was so impressed with not only the show. I mean, it is incredible. It's very meaningful, and I felt like I had met, you know, a group of quilters that were like-minded. But I was also so impressed with the two of them, with Vicki and Wendy, and what they had accomplished with this show. You know, in talking about background, that's my background in quilts. But one of the things that I brought to the table and how I got involved was technology. My corporate experience is in engineering. And so following the 2007 show, I contacted Wendy and Vicki and said, hey, you know, I'm a geek and I do web stuff. And if you need help, I would love to help because, you know, this, I'm really moved by this and I want to give back. And so if you need any technology, please let me know. And they did not know me. And, you know, over the course of some emails, we got to know each other. And over time, I began to get more and more involved in the show. And so I took over the website and also built the online registration system that we then used for the 2009 show. Mm. And so it was amazing experience. And then to go back in 2009 with Christine, we traveled together, and that's a part of our story. But just to see the show after working on it and see it come together, and it was amazing.
Yeah. So both of you have had quilts in the show, correct?
Yeah, so I had quilts in both the 2007 and the 2009 show.
Okay. And Christine, you just...
I've had quilts in the show also.
Okay, great. So how did it come about that the two of you have taken over the reins of the show? What happened that you're now co-chairs?
Yeah, so let me tell that story because it's really kind of, it's neat to see divine intervention through this process. So I was involved in putting together the 2009 show. I served on the committee.
And when the 2009 show was being planned, I asked Christine, hey, what do you think about going to Columbus? Or maybe it was Christine's idea. I can't actually remember whose idea it was. But together we decided, hey, let's make that journey together. Let's go to Columbus and see the Sacred Thread show together. And so we traveled there. And the night before the artist reception, we had dinner with Wendy and Vicki. And so it was the four of us. We were having a lovely meal. And then Vicki and Wendy sort of dropped the bomb that they had decided that they wanted to retire. And they were asking me if I wanted to take it on. And I totally did not see that coming, was not prepared for it, had not put that into my thinking of something that, whether I'd be willing to take that on. And honestly, I really didn't have a gut response of, oh yeah, absolutely, or no way, I guess that. But because Christine was there, I mean, I really felt like that was meant to be, that we were to be there that evening and that she was a part of that conversation. And over the next few days, we just dreamt together. Well, what if we did this together? She had skills. You know, I'm really pretty new to the whole art world. I don't know galleries. You know, I'm more of the sort of the back end geek. And so just having her there and dreaming together, it really felt like it was meant to be. And so, you know, we had a few days to think about it before we got back to them and said, yes, we'll do it together.
That was great. Christine, what were your skills that Lisa was referring to as far as being just the right person to be a part of this show?
I think Lisa's referring to the fact that I was director of a regional gallery for 5 years. And I did know some of the galleries in the Washington area, which we did go to and speak about having the show. But the show is so large, and not every piece is for sale. And in this economy, some of the galleries insist on pieces being for sale. So, you know, some of the pieces are so personal, they can't be sold.
Right.
So we did search out another venue. And then also I have hung shows before. I do think Lisa and I are a good complement for each other, because it seems to me where one begins to feel a little intimidated by a process, such as me with the technology, the other one steps in and says, oh, well, you know, look at it this way. So I do think she's right, that we do balance each other fairly well.
Great.
But this show is so wonderful. Going to Columbus was a humbling experience and very touching. And the special exhibit, Beyond the Barriers, was incredible. It was done by the women, the inmates from an Ohio prison, from the reformatory for women. And whenever anyone went into that area at the show, there was a hush, because the intensity of the statements was clearly apparent.
Mm-hmm.
And so we both knew that this show had to go on. It was just that we hadn't expected that we would be the vehicle that would make it go on.
Yeah, well, I think they made a good decision, so that sounds like it's going to be fantastic. And I just had this thought that I own a book. I have an extensive library, as I'm sure many artists do, but I have a book called With Sacred Threads, Quilting in the Spiritual Life, by Susan Towner and Larson and Barbara Brewer Davis. Is that book connected with the show at all?
You know, it is and it isn't. It's connected in a sacred sense, but it's not actually technically connected. But it's the same community of people in the Columbus area.
Oh, okay.
And Vicki Pignatelli is quoted in the early pages of the book, and then one of her quilts is actually featured in one of the chapters. And so this is a like-minded group of people in the Columbus area that really connected quilt making with the sacred. So yes and no, it's the same context, some of the same themes, and some of the same people. Okay. But the book's not actually a part of the show. Okay. But I highly recommend it. It's a great book. I recommend it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so what makes the Sacred Thread show different from other quilt shows?
Well, it's different in many ways.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Vicki really felt that, and you can see that we're really trying to build upon what Vicki and Wendy did. And mm-hmm. and Vicki felt that those were who were in charge of the exhibit needed three qualities collectively, that there had to be someone that was a dreamer or a visionary, and there had to be someone with great organizational skills. And then she wanted everyone involved to have a passion for this particular exhibit. And she believed, because of the emotional and spiritual aspect of the show, that every quilt was unique and that in many ways we should be able to accept each one. But, of course, we have to think of category relevance and we have to think of our limited space.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't insist on new work because many of these themes are timeless.
And I think what also makes it different is the importance of the artist statement. You know, it's not about materials and techniques. It's not about that. It's about the soul. You know, where does this artwork come from? So the artist statements are very complementary to the work. And, you know, it gets, in terms of the layout of the show, you know, the artist statement is always right there. And you see people as they're going through the show, they're reading the artist statements. You know, a lot of shows, it's just sort of secondary. And it's great, you know, if there's a piece and you want to know how they did it, you might read the statement to see, oh, okay, you know, that was applique or that was embroidery. This is very different. You know, these are people's most personal journeys that they're sharing. And so people do take the time to read the artist statements. And there's also an opportunity for viewers to make comments and to fill out forms that the artists then receive, and they get feedback on their works. We're not sure exactly how we're going to handle that for the 2011 show, but that's been a very important aspect of the show, is that viewers also get to share their reactions to the pieces. And, you know, in some cases, they've been through a similar journey. And so being able to see the piece and to read the statement is really meaningful. And so it's been wonderful to allow viewers also to share that.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful, because that's completes the cycle of communication, that you get the feedback from the viewers, and so many people don't do that when they enter any kind of art show or quilt show. It's just there for people to look at, but you never know. Unless you're standing right there, you don't get that feedback. So that's excellent.
Right.
Yeah, that's important. What are the categories? You both mentioned categories for the quilts, so could you tell us what those are?
Yeah, so joy and inspiration, spirituality, healing, grief, and peace and brotherhood. Peace and brotherhood is a single category.
Okay. All right. So I can see how, you know, fitting quilts into different categories, that's not too much of a problem. How strictly do you adhere to the definition of quilt as far as when you're qualifying entries?
Our quilts are sandwiches. We have the back, a top, and an inside. And right now we're not able to accept, say, freestanding pieces. But there could be something, some provision for that in the future.
Okay. So strictly is a quilt show, like in the traditional sense of the word quilt show.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay. It is. But many of the quilts, of course, are non-traditional, are truly art quilts.
Yeah, I would think that they would have to be, you know, more than, say, patchwork or piecing in order to get that message across, too. So, yeah, as far as quilts go, then you would classify it as an art quilt show, perhaps?
I don't know. Not necessarily. I mean, we've had some traditional block-based quilts where, for example, in the white spaces, notes were written to a soldier who's overseas. And then, you know, there's a story behind that. So, no, there are some traditional quilts definitely in the show, but where, you know, each piece of fabric or the design of the block has some very important meaning. Probably one of the most famous quilts we had was last year in 2009. We had Lois Jarvis's Ground Zero quilt. And that was a star where each of the diamonds was a face of somebody that lost their life in 9/11. And so, I mean, it's traditional in the sense that it's a star and it's all, you know, pieces, diagonal pieces, but obviously, you know, very poignant with the faces of the people that lost their lives. So there are definitely traditional quilts, but there's meaning behind each of the, you know, there's some meaning being expressed through the creation of the work.
Okay, gotcha. So, and you also referred to the artist statement. So how does that figure into the selection process? Do you read those artist statements at the same time, you know, you're viewing the quilt?
Yes. The artist statement, there's in the online jurying system, the artist statement is there with the photograph. So the juror is reading the artist statement, and it absolutely is a critical part of the piece.
Okay. So how many entries do you typically receive?
Yeah, I only know from the 2009 show because I wasn't a part of the earlier shows, but the 2009 show, we had almost 400 entries.
Okay. And so if the show's open to everybody, then why is there a jurying process?
Well, of course, we wish we could exhibit each and every quilt that is entered. We do have space limitations.
Oh, yes.
We could limit the size of the quilts, but sometimes that artist needs that space to really express his or her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel that really our biggest constraint is the exhibit space. And Sacred Threads is really already one of the largest single exhibits of quilts.
Ooh. Yeah, I guess so. If you have 400, so let's say you have 400 entries and you have space for all 400, obviously they'd all get in. But what if, you were talking about the size of the venue and all, so I imagine you plan for as many quilts as you can, but not knowing the size of them, it sounds like it's sort of like a jigsaw puzzle to put the show together, too. So kudos to you guys. Who's jurying the show? Are you guys jurying it, or do you have a jury panel?
We have a panel. Sue Pierce,
mm-hmm.
Sue Reno, and Diane Herbert.
Oh, okay. And that's
so
all
they,
done?
They are the ones, and they're all nationally known quilt artists.
Yeah.
Okay. So they are our jurors this year.
Okay. So let's talk about this upcoming show then. Where is it going to be held this year?
So it's going to be at Church of the Epiphany. That's my church, which is the address is Herndon, Virginia, but actually for people in the Northern Virginia area, it's closer to Fairfax. It's right on the border. It's in the Franklin Farm community, Fairfax County Parkway and Franklin Farm Road. Very easy access to the toll road and to 66, not far from Dulles Airport. And we chose that partly because it's my church and it makes some of the logistics easier, but also it's got a parish hall that is large enough for us to convert it into the gallery space. As Christine mentioned, we went and looked at a number of galleries, which would have been very desirable to have it in a gallery, but none of them are large enough. This is a very large quilt show.
Yeah.
And so we really needed to take a large room, and then using the drape and rod system, we will convert it into a gallery space. So Church of the Epiphany, and then it'll open on June 22nd and run through July 4th, and then we'll have an artist reception on June 25th.
Okay. And like I said, I'm local, so I know I'll be able to attend this year. What if you're from out of town? Do you have any recommendations for, you said Dulles Airport's nearby. So, I mean, a lot of people usually come from other locations, or is it more of a local thing, or what kind of you know, viewership do you have?
What was that? People come from other locations. In Columbus, there were a lot of people that were from the Ohio area. But Washington, D.C. has a large contingent of quilters. But we're also hoping that people come from all over. And if people watch our website, we'll have information up about hotels and traveling and possibly some other surprises also.
Ooh, I like surprises.
We have a wonderful committee working on this, a wonderful committee of women with lots of ideas. And so we're hoping to have some activities that make it worthwhile for someone to come to see the exhibit.
And we purposely planned it around the July 4th weekend so that if people thought about coming to D.C., they might take this opportunity to go down to the mall for fireworks. I mean, it's a great opportunity to, you know, to do that, sort of a once-in-a-lifetime thing if you're not from this area. And so we purposely planned it around the holiday weekend, hoping that that would be another reason for people to come to D.C.
That's smart. Yeah, definitely. So how can quilters enter the show? And when's the entry deadline and all that stuff?
Well, they can check our website, which is www.sacredthreadsquilts.com. That's an S on the end of threads and an S on the end of quilts.
Okay. And
the online registration is January 9th through March 9th.
Okay.
So that's quite a good space of time.
Yeah.
And if you have any trouble at all, I'm lending Lisa services. If you have any trouble at all, Lisa is
we'll call you, in other words.
No, last year I got on there. It was the first time I had entered a show that was so easy to put through. If I made a mistake, everything didn't disappear. I was able
right.
to correct that mistake and keep going. And it was extremely easy to enter Sacred Threads.
So it's an online entry process, no slides. We've finally moved away from slides.
Yeah. And no burning a CD and putting it in a snail mail. You fill out a form, you upload your photographs directly from your computer, and that's it.
That sounds brilliant. Tell me a little bit more about that process, Lisa.
In terms of the online system, this was something that in 2009 when I was now supporting the technology, we talked about the need for getting all of the information and creating all the signage for the show and the layouts and all these things. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to be receiving all these CDs in the mail and getting all these paper forms and being the person to read all those CDs and type all this information and put it all in a system. So there's got to be a better way. And so we built it. And so the system, what the artist sees is just these very simple forms where you fill out your artist information and then you fill out the form for the quilt and including your artist statement and then you upload your photographs. But what's also nice is that all of this information goes into this database. The jurors log on from wherever they are in their homes, and they do all of the jurying online when it's convenient for them. In the past, the jurors had to go to Columbus, and they would spend a day.
Oh, really?
Wow. And they would, you know, somebody would have taken all the images off of the CDs or the slides, and then they would project them on the wall, and then they would have some sort of balloting. So we built this now that the jurors do their jurying from home. They'll log into the system. They bring up each ballot. It has the artist statement, the images. They can enlarge the images. And then they place their votes. They submit their votes. And then the system tallies all of the votes from the jurors. And then the administrator accepts the quilts that, you know, have the highest votes. And then all of the information, it goes into Excel spreadsheet and all of the acceptance letters, rejection letters, signage, all of that comes directly out of the database, so nobody's typing anything. So it was highly successful for 2009, and so I'm pleased that we'll be able to offer the same thing for 2011.
Yeah. Is this unique to the Sacred Threads show, or would other shows be able to use this software system?
Yes. SAQUA, Studio Art Cult Associates, is using our system for all of their exhibits, as is QSDS.
Wow.
And also in Columbus. And then the Quilts, Inc. in Houston is using this system for all of the special exhibits, not the IQA Big Show, but the all the special exhibits that are run, like In Full Bloom and Tactile Architecture, all the special exhibits that they do also run through the same system.
Okay, and you're the creator of the system, correct?
I am, yep.
Okay.
And it all started
so anybody-
with Sacred Threads. Yeah, I built it for Sacred Threads, and people said, you should market this. This is great. Like, oh, okay. So I did, and now it's sort of taken off, and I've got lots of great clients.
And would this, I'm just thinking ahead here, but would it work for all types of art shows, not just a quilt show?
It does. It really could be used for any art show. In fact, one of the Quilts, Inc. special exhibits was the Eye of the Quilter, which is a photography exhibit. And it was done exactly the same way. People uploaded their photographs, and then all the signage, the jurying and the signage was all done out of the system. So, yes, absolutely. And I have a new client. The University of Michigan has a number of gallery spaces, and they do a call for entries for artists of any medium. And they're using our system now to do their
That's
call for
fantastic.
Entry.
Listening wants to know about your software. What's the contact information for that and the name of the software?
Yeah, the name of the company is called givingbacktechnology.com, and my contact information is on that website. It's also on the Sacred Threads Quilts website. So either website, you can get my email address. So givingbacktechnology.com or sacredthreadsquilts.com.
Wonderful. Brilliant. That's great. Okay, so if it's all done with digital photos, then obviously that makes a good photo, makes it, it's important to have a good photo if that's the only way you're going to get into the show. So I guess that's always been the case. But in the Sacred Threads, you've talked about the artist statement and how important a part that is. So I'm wondering, if you knew the backstory, so to speak, of the quilt, if there was such a compelling artist statement, would that maybe override or help somebody whose photograph wasn't all that, you know, sharp and clear and all?
It would. And in the 2009 show, we did have a few photographs that were not great. You could see the quilt well enough to know what, you know, that it was a good quilt. And so it was fine for the jurying process, but we should point out that we also produce a CD. And those photographs are also going to be put on a CD to sell so that people have a souvenir of the show and they can, after the show, see all the quilts and read the artist statements. And so in the 2009 show, we had to contact a few of the artists and ask them to please redo their photographs because they just were not good enough to go on the CD. So it's very compelling to go ahead and take the time to do a good photograph. I mean, it would help with the jurying, but more importantly for the CD, we really need to have a good quality photograph.
Definitely. And is the artist statement on the CD as well then, obviously?
It is. It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we don't dictate to our jurors. So therefore, if they decide to accept a quilt because of the artist statement, that could be the deciding factor.
Okay. So what you write is, in this case, almost as important as what you have created. Would you say that's true?
It could be, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it will depend on the jurors a bit. I would
say
that's been true in the past. But I think Christine is right. You know, our jurors, you know, they might see things a little differently, and we're, you know, we want them to do what they're trained to do. And so, you know, that'll be up to them.
Right. Okay. Like, I'm just thinking here off the top of my head, if it was, say, a quilt made by a child and it was their first effort, the only way the jurors would know that would be if they read the artist's statement. And in that case, that would sway them to jury that quilt in, even though it might have looked amateurish in the photograph. Then there's, you know, having knowing that backstory in this instance would make it, you know, about a piece of the show, so to speak.
Absolutely. And this is not a judged show. It's not about craftsmanship. It's not about perfect points and a perfect binding. You know, this is really more about the imagery and the stories behind the work.
Great.
So it's a great opportunity for amateur quilters to put their work into a show.
Sounds good.
Lisa, it also was reminding me of Beyond the Barrier, where these women were using just donated fabric. Some of them really didn't have a choice of going to a store. They just took whatever came in. And and some of their quilts are very, very primitive.
Yeah.
But the story that goes with those quilts is so compelling.
Mm-hmm.
People were crying in row of quilts.
And those are online. All of those and the artist statements are online. If people go to the Sacred Threads Quilts website, on the home page, there's a link to the Beyond the Barrier special exhibit, and they can go. There's a website that they can read all the artist statements and see those images. It's all there online.
Wonderful. So that'll be, you said you were going to create a CD, but will all those be online, all the quilts from this year's or next year's show be online in the future?
No, the 2011 show will not be online. We will produce the CD. The Beyond the Barrier was 16 quilts.
Oh, okay.
And we didn't have those in enough time to put them on the CD. We just got those quilts in time to hang them for the 2009 show. We didn't have photographs of them ahead of time. So they were not on the CD, so they are online. But the 2011 show will not be on. There'll be a handful we'll put online as an example. But most of them will, the majority of them will just be available on the CD.
Okay. And I understand, that there's a new opportunity available for the 2011 show. So can you tell us about that?
Yes, the Church of the Epiphany venue, most of the main part of the show will be in the parish hall, but the church has a beautiful sanctuary, and we have a false balcony that goes around the perimeter of the room, and we thought that it could be very special to have an exhibit that features liturgical quilts or Christian quilts that will hang along this faux balcony. So when you come into the sanctuary, you'll just see this ribbon of beautiful pieces all around. So it's a special call for entries. It's free to enter. And the only criteria is that they're 30 inches in length. Because of the false balcony and to create a cohesive exhibit, we want them all to be the same length, but they can be any width. And all of that information is also on the website. We're referring to them as liturgical quilts. Basically what that just means is that they're Christian-themed. And they will hang in the sanctuary during the time of the show, June 22nd through July 4th.
Okay. So would somebody submit specifically to that show, or would you pull something from the general submissions?
No, it'll be a separate entry. It'll be a separate entry. It'll be its own online system. All the links will be all on the same website, so they'll be able to easily find the link, but they'll actually fill out different form to enter the liturgical special exhibit.
Okay.
And there is no entry fee for that particular exhibit.
Okay. So there is an entry fee for the general exhibit.
There is.
Yeah. Okay. You mind telling us how much?
$20 for two quilts.
Two quilts. Okay, that's pretty good. That's good. All right. So, getting to the point in the show where I have my standard questions that I ask everyone. So we've got time. You can both answer both of them. But first one is, where does art come from? So who would like to be first answering that?
That sounds like you, Christine.
Okay. You know, I I think art comes from the world around me. I have a notebook that I have with me all the time, and if I hear a quote, I jot it down. If I see a color or a group of colors that look especially compelling, I jot it down, or a magazine picture or something from the newspaper. Recently, I was down for a bit. I came back from Houston with a respiratory infection, and it really felled me for a while. And in order to get back into the mood, I started making just little collages. I had all this recycled material. I decided I could only use recycled materials. So I tore out pictures and letters and such and manipulated colors and made these little tiny pieces, anywhere from 4x6 to, say, 8x10. And I even saved my cereal boxes and rice boxes and other types of recyclables to back them with. And so I find that really art and inspiration is all around me.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think it's just the way you view the world or the way you open yourself up to what's in your environment and all. So
well, I go back through this journal or this book that I have. It's just a composition book. And many times I might add to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always an idea in there that I can flesh out in some way.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, Lisa, where does art come from in your opinion?
You know, for me, I think it comes more from God. You know, I just find myself, I'll be, you know, in a sort of meditative, prayerful mode, and suddenly I'll get an idea for a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems to me to come more from within me and, you know, in a relationship with God. Now, there are times when I do experience, I'll be maybe down at the beach, and I'll be studying the Bible, sitting out, looking at this incredible ocean and meditating about, you know, the beauty of creation, and I'll get an inspiration. So sometimes the outward world does inspire me. But I would say overall, for the most part, it's something that sort of comes from within me, you know, in a response, in a relationship to God.
Okay, that's wonderful. I love listening to, you know, the variety of responses I get to that question. It's just eye-opening, because I think when people think, oh, I wish I was an artist, or I want to be and do what artists do, and they feel like they don't know how, but then finding out that there's so many different ways to be inspired and to create from, I think is of value. So, riding off of that question, then the next one is, how do you define success as an artist? So who wants to go first with that?
You know, for me, I think success is just in producing the work. It's such a personal thing. You know, I feel like I need to make this piece. I want to make this piece. The way the inspiration was given to me, you know, in a response, I want and need to make it. And when I've made it, it was a success. Whether other people appreciate it, to me, is really secondary. It's really more about the journey of making the piece, seeing the creative process, experiencing the creative process. And for me, that's really freeing, because I turn off all the critics. It's not about was it successful from some sort of, you know, design, line, shape, you know, light, dark, all of those kinds of ways we try to be objective about art. For me, it's just the process of creating it. And so I feel successful when I finish it, when I do it. And I listen
Great.
To the voice and I do it.
Good. Okay. How about you, Christine?
You know,
what does success mean to you?
I absolutely agree with Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
I think success is inner, and it's very personal to me. And I think that if I listened to other people or other critics, I wouldn't have tried to do some of the pieces that I did do that I feel best about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So I'd like you both to give us your websites for your art, your own artwork, as opposed to the Sacred Thread site. But if you each give me your website, or give us, the listeners, your website's web address, and then the website again for the show. So, Christine, what's your website?
Before I even give you my website, I know Lisa mm-hmm. also would like to thank Wendy and Vicki again because they laid great groundwork for the Sacred Thread show. And we don't forget that they were very much the people who brought this show about. My website is storiesinfabric.com.
Okay, stories, plural, in fabric.
Stories, plural, S-T-O-R-I-E-S, in fabric.com.
Okay, and you, Lisa?
Let me just piggyback on what Christine said and just throw out our thanks to our fabulous committee that we have locally. We've been very blessed by a group of women that were excited when they heard that we were bringing the show here and have really stepped up to the plate. And so it's not just Christine and I doing this. We have this fabulous committee that's helped already with a number of things that need to get done. But to answer your question about website, mine is ellisquilts.com. So ellisquilts.com.
Okay, and then the show site is sacredthreadsquilts.com?
That's it.
Correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Sacredthreadsquilts.com.
Okay, so anything else that you would either of you would like to share with the listeners? Personal or Sacred Threads wise or anything?
Leslie, I
think
I'm
going to show.
One at a time, you. What did you say, Christine?
I said, I think you're very thorough. However, we would like to see more and more entries this year.
Okay.
And come to the show. Come to the show. June 22nd to July 4th, 2000.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, you can use this interview to help promote getting entries and, you know, getting people to come to the show. So I hope that will be beneficial to you all and getting the word out, not just locally, but, you know, you've got big fans in Columbus and now you'll have big fans in the D.C. area. But I know that, you know, we've got a whole world out there of people that would love to see this show. And if not in person, then they could get the CD probably. So definitely check your website later on. And will the CD be available before? Well, it wouldn't be available before the show's hung, but during the show or after the show?
Yes, we will sell them. Yeah, we'll sell them at the show, and then they'll be on the website. People can buy them through PayPal, using PayPal.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I want to thank you both very much for joining me today. I appreciate you taking the time out during all this pre-holiday madness. So I think it's been a great show, and I'm just really happy to have you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Y'all have a wonderful holiday. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You too, Leslie.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, that's it for today's show. And I really wanted to thank Christine Adams and Lisa Ellis for filling us in on the Sacred Threads art quilt exhibit. And hopefully you all will visit the website later on. But it'd be wonderful if you'd present an entry for them to take a look at and perhaps jury into the show. So that's it for the year. I will be joining you again on January 3rd for another show where we'll be interviewing, let's see what her name is, it's Jennifer Robin. She has a book out called Growing More Beautiful, An Artful Approach to Personal Style, and we're going to talk about using yourself as your art canvas. How can you create an art you know, using your wardrobe and what you have on hand, making yourself a work of art as well. So for Leslie Riley, for Art and Soul Radio, reminding you, art is what you make it. Bye-bye.